Undercover Carson, Secret Agent. Operation Death Ray, an assignment in Rio.
The search was over. The six scientists were dead. The death ray had existed for a few terrifying days, but now it had been destroyed, and Charco and everything with it. So back I came to Rio once again, with young Angelo and Faye Corelli, the lissom French-Italian dancer, fast recovering from a sprained leg, now that she was back in the gayest of cities. Now there remained the unfinished business, the uncovering of Charco's Rio contact. Nagel warned me about this, offered me a quick escape in his seaplane. But until I had the full story, my mission was not completed. There was no answer when first I phoned the Davenport apartment, but the old boy was back home when I reached there after dropping Faye and Angelo on the way. He listened breathlessly to all that had happened in the wilds between Rio, Buenos Aires, and La Paz.
I say, old fellow, the mere telling of it has chilled my spine. It is terrifying. But of course, the destruction of so many planes in that area has caused a worldwide sensation. There's a committee of all the South American republics meeting now in Buenos Aires.
Have they any inkling of the real cause?
Well, I was conferring with some of our people, Carson. This part of the world's subject to violent earth tremors, earthquakes.
They think it's something of that nature, eh?
Well, a more localized and violent phenomenon. Yet I understand that they have eyewitness reports from the pilots of the search planes, and later from the fighting craft of Brazil, Bolivia, and the Argentine. Very brief reports, of course. Seconds later, there was silence. Nothing more.
And the death ray got him, eh?
I fear so. What an evil fellow this Charco must have been.
Obviously brilliant, sir, but crazy. It amazed me to learn that the wench we knew as Sally Bruin was his wife.
Indeed, Carson, this assignment has given both of us many a rude shock. For my own part, the duplicity of Julius Grant was my greatest blow. A man of no small accomplishment, a trusted friend. How very glad I am that this whole business is over.
Yeah, but it's not, sir.
Well, Carson, the death ray's gone. All the scientists concerned are dead.
True, but there are many loose ends.
Oh, I follow what you mean, yes, yes. Mademoiselle Corelli, for instance.
Now, all cleared up about her, Sir Giles. She had a secret crush on my late and unlamented school chum, Roger Deauville. He was under instructions to get the death ray plans by his continental masters. So Faye, minx that she is, decided to become a freelance and get those plans for him.
You mentioned that, Carson. However,
You don't agree, sir?
Well, I rather thought it went deeper than that. But this Nagel fellow...
I couldn't stomach any more of Charco. In the past, he'd hire plane and self to all and sundry. Kept a tight lip at all times. But now he's finished, making plans to get back to the United States and a new life. When I spoke of loose ends, I meant Aubrey Dent, for instance.
I've done my best to locate that fellow, Carson. He didn't take a rest cure in the Lakes District of the Argentine as arranged. He's missing, and I believe that he has much to answer.
Seems he might be the one.
Don't forget Miss Jensen. She ran out on us after so many declarations of loyalty.
But when Nagel was taking us off to the final showdown, sir, she ran onto the jetty down to the bay, waving frantically.
And you naturally concluded that she wanted to warn you about something.
So, sir. Seemed desperate.
Or was she desperate because she had instructions to stop you from going?
Well, how, sir?
Well, from Charco.
Oh, hard to imagine, sir, though...
Yet Charco was in touch with someone here in Rio.
Sir, that's how he was warned of my coming.
Then it could well be Miss Jensen. Much and all as I hate to have you utterly disillusioned, old fellow.
Or it could be Dent.
Quite. It wouldn't be the first occasion when the promise of power under a new regime had lured a trusted man from our fold, as it were. But there's been no sign of Miss Jensen and no word.
And what about that shop of hers, sir, in Rua de Ubidor?
Still there, with the promised sale notice, but not open for business as yet. I've been looking for her, too, Carson. Going from one antique shop to another, attending sales and gatherings, all in the hope that I might get some whisper about her.
But nothing?
I fear not. Though the time was not entirely wasted, I had to cloak my real purpose, so, bearing in mind a certain hobby of yours, I managed to pick up a very fine sword.
What, for me, sir?
Yes, old fellow. Venetian court sword, 17th century.
Oh, that's very kind of you, sir.
Oh, it's nothing really. But I left it inside, in the room that's come to be yours in this apartment, on the bed.
Well, most eager to have a look at it. Howsoever...
Then go right ahead. I shan't be long.
You're going somewhere, you mean, sir?
Well, I should think so. I must hasten to pass on your story about the death ray.
Ah, I'll come along with you.
No, 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 Carson. You've done enough. You need a rest, so get that sword, take a leisurely look at it, and I'll be back for the finale.
Finale?
Yes, we'll get down to the cold business of tracking down Dent and Miss Jensen.
I thought about what the old boy said and mentally sifted through the evidence. It was all so very bewildering. But I did need a break, however brief, from the days of tension, so into the bedroom I went, and there on the covers I found a very fine sword indeed. The scabbard was engraved, the hilt thick and ornate. It was the sort of weapon that a collector approached slowly and then lifted up very gently, not rushing, not examining it too intimately for a start. I was about to draw the blade from the scabbard when...
Don't, Bruce! Don't draw the sword!
Helena!
You hear me? Don't draw out that blade!
Well, since that gun trembles so close, my dear, perhaps I'd best not.
Put it down, Bruce.
You're in the position to give the orders, it seems. Well, there we are, back onto the bed covers.
Oh, thank heavens for that. Bruce!
My question first, if I may, Helena. Just how do you happen to be here?
Sir Giles obligingly went out earlier. I happen to have a key.
So, you stole in here and, let's see, you slipped behind the curtain.
Yes. Not highly original, I know.
But all very puzzling.
We're trying to protect you. That sword, for instance.
Yeah, Venetian, 17th century.
But a trap, Bruce, a trap.
You say a trap, my dear?
You don't seem to understand.
I don't. This we, for instance.
Myself and Aubrey Dent.
Well, then you are in cahoots, as Finn Nagle would say. But where is Dent?
Downstairs. Making sure that Sir Giles doesn't get away.
In that case, I see very well what you mean by a trap.
Listen to me, Bruce. The arch traitor of all in this whole sordid death ray business is our very charming Sir Giles.
Sir Giles? You'd be accusing me next.
Oh, you just don't believe it, do you?
No, I don't. No more than I believe you and Dent, perhaps, are taking steps to preserve me from harm.
But we are.
Then why the blazes not warn me before I come up here into the apartment?
Because, and it seems we were very right, you wouldn't believe us. You'd blunder on until you were completely in his hands. But for my presence here, Bruce, you'd be dead by now.
Dead? How so?
From that sword. And don't reach for it again.
Oh, please yourself. But precisely how does it come to be lethal?
Well, I don't know that, but...
Oh, now we are being highly unoriginal.
Right through, Sir Giles.
Oh, someone outside. Dent.
This is monstrous.
We're in the bedroom, Aubrey. Come right through. Bruce still isn't convinced.
Convinced? As far as you and Dent are concerned, I rather think I am.
In my own home, by one of my own countrymen. What a contemptible brute you are.
You'll kindly shut up, Sir Giles.
Shut up, upon my soul.
Now, that's a bit over the odds, Dent.
And that'll be quite enough from you, Bruce. I'm going to do the talking.
And please, Bruce, don't make it worse by protesting.
All right, let's hear it then.
Well, Bruce, as you see, I didn't go to the Lake District.
Yeah, obviously.
It was an excuse just to get away from here, to follow up my suspicions. And when I found that I was right, I warned Helena. That's why she left so suddenly.
And we tried to warn you, Bruce. Remember, as you were taking off in the seaplane?
Sir, but to warn me or get rid of me?
You won't believe.
Certainly not.
You would. You would if you'd been hounded for days by dear Sir Giles. Hounded with the threat of death every moment.
What utter piffle!
You're a great one to piffle yourself, Sir Giles. You put on a remarkably convincing act and revealed your friend Julius Grant as a traitor.
Are you suggesting...
I'm suggesting nothing. I'm telling you the facts. That made me think. Other things made me think.
Insufferable!
You'll have to suffer much more, I'm afraid. Now, Carson... Have you ever paused to consider why the first Angelo died?
Well, so...
He was savagely attacked by Roger Doville.
He was, but he welcomed death, made no fight at all. And why? Because he discovered you for that treacherous swine you are.
Swine? Carson!
Go on, then.
He discovered that the man he'd served and worshipped had a darker soul than the worst of his relatives and acquaintances. And so in an agony of bewilderment, he faded away.
What a colossal fantasy this is. Angelo...
Angelo died because you're a charcoal man. And that was borne out by Roger Doville's dying words. He admitted that he'd worked against his own country and countrymen, and against peace. But he said, as Carson will recall, that we had yet to discover what a traitor really could be. Carson need only consider this sword.
And what's wrong with the sword? By Jove!
Aubrey has grabbed it!
Don't worry. If he tries to use it, I'm afraid I shall be forced
I'll
to...
use it, all right. I'll unsheathe the blade and...
Sir Giles!
Take it from me, Carson. Rather an effort to let it go.
Your hand, it's bleeding.
Punctured by a dozen poison barbs.
Don't touch the handle, Bruce.
Great Lucifer, when the blade was unsheathed, the barb sprang out.
And that was meant for you.
For me? It's a giant.
As I was saying, Carson, the promise of power has lured many a trusted man from the field.
It was the horror of it all that made me anxious to return to London as soon as possible. But other unfinished business remained. Faye Corelli. Yet once again she'd vanished. I found myself calling upon the services of young Angelo once again.
They have discovered, Senor, that the Senorita neither resides at her former places nor dances where her beauty has long been known and acclaimed.
Where the blazes does she get to?
But among my relatives and acquaintances, Senor, there is the feeling that the Senorita is never truly in a state of affection for Senor Deauville.
Not, eh?
No, Senor. Nor does she attempt to uncover secrets so that she may rise in his affections. Always, she is eager to obtain the information for herself.
Yes, I know, Jeff. Helena's more or less throughout the story about Faye having a crush on friend Deauville. She was freelance agent from start to finish. But we must find her, Angelo. Tomorrow night, my plane leaves for London.
Well, Crossan, they're starting to pile out and going up the ramp.
Well, I suppose I'd better go.
Elena and I'll be following in a day or two.
I want to have that sale in my shop after all, Bruce.
Oh, well, may you get the highest prices for all the antiques, and that may you...
Senor Crossan.
Oh. Goodbye, Angelo. Oh, adios, rather.
No, Luke.
Huh? Say...
Monsieur Bruce, how wonderful.
Do you realize I've been looking high and low for you for days?
For me, it has been what you call the great battle. But how lovely for everyone to be here, even Mademoiselle Elena.
Soon to be Madame Dent.
Oh, the things that happened. Oh, but Monsieur Bruce, it is so terrible to have to say goodbye. Oh, but you take it right from the mouth. You're going to kiss me.
Yeah, time enough for that if I think it's true.
Carson, old chap, I think you'd better hurry along.
But I'm the one who must hurry.
So you are on the plane?
Oui. Bruce, what do you fuss about? I go to Europe to further my dancing.
You have an engagement there?
No, not already. But I think perhaps I get one on the way.
Any particular firm?
No.
Oh, then let's see what can be done. Come along now.
Monsieur Bruce, you also on the aeroplane?
I am, my dear. As if you didn't know. So there it was. Alyssum Faye Corelli, a freelance agent, was heading back to Europe. I had a feeling I'd be having a new assignment, and seeing her dance again, having her lead me a dance again, now that we'd turned our backs on South America and Operation Death Ray.
As Undercover Carson, you heard Barry Cookson, with James Mills as Sir Giles Davenport, and Audrey Teasdale as Faye Corelli. The program was written by Michael Noonan and produced by E. Mason Wood for the Macquarie Broadcasting Service.